Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey there, Ruby fans. Welcome back to the Ruby After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. On this week's Rooster Teeth Reviews, we are talking about Volume 6, Episode 7, The Grim Reaper. We're going to be breaking down the episode and talking exactly about why you should never smile at a crocodile. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
It's the Grim Weeper.
It's the Grim Weeper.
I'm going to weep on your grim.
The Grim Weeper fought the crocodile.
I was just real tired last week. Did I miss anything important?
We were all pretty tired last week.
You should be happy you ain't dead.
She made it back.
I'm back to talk about the Grim Reaper, guys.
You got through last week, like, you missed the show, turned around, saw that it was on fire, and kept walking.
Yeah,
that's what you. That was you last week.
What are you guys doing?
Okay, bye.
Never mind, I don't want to know.
It's fine. Hey there, Rooster Teeth fans, and welcome back to the Ruby After Show. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
It me.
It is, and there he goes. To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews for all of you guys following along on Twitter. And just about everybody at this table has you guys covered on the live chat. So hi, everybody who's watching live. We want to hear your thoughts. However, guys, as we say every week, please adhere to community guidelines as we discuss this episode. Not everybody has been able to watch the next episode. So,
like me.
And we are adhering to the community guidelines as set out by Rooster Teeth. So, guys, no spoilers for episode 8 of this season.
No.
No, none of them. Get out of here. Nothing in the comments, nothing in the chat, nothing in the hashtag. We don't want no spoilers. So, guys, with that out of the way.
Somebody changed their name in chat to Grim Weeple.
And John John said Elmer Fudd is a huntsman. So.
Welcome to our new segment, Ruby Babies. It's not quite the same.
Wouldn't it be Wooby Babies?
Yeah, Wooby Babies.
WWBY.
Wooby.
Wooby Baby. It's not
be
quite the same.
Be very quiet, I'm hunting Gwim.
It's not quite the... I would actually watch the heck out of that Looney Tune cartoon. We're not... It's not quite the same as Ruby Chibi. It's like literally everyone's a baby. Anyway, guys, yeah, what did we think
of? Well, actually, really quickly, what did you think about last week's episode? Because
yeah.
You weren't here.
Oh my god, guys, I loved it so much. I always love when Rooster Teeth gives me horror anytime. It felt like an early Christmas present. Oh. No joke, it felt like a gift. And episodes like that, I know it seems really dark and terrible to say, but like episodes like that fill my heart with so much joy.
When we watched it, you were too busy being happy to remember the fact that I was literally screaming.
Yeah.
We talked after, I was like, yeah, I was screaming, and you went, really?
It was a scream of terror.
So much fun.
Scream of terror versus scream of joy.
That's pretty much.
As Katie's screaming in terror, I'm like throwing up my arms going, yes! So that was me last week. I haven't been that happy since the Nucklevee. Oh. So it was
terrifying.
A good time.
What? You should be concerned about what makes you so happy.
We already
Do you
did
know
our,
her?
We already did our Bloodfest review, guys.
Oh. Do you know her?
Well, not to dwell too much on last week, so let's talk about this week's episode. Mark, what did we think of this episode?
One of the best fights that they've ever produced, bar none. And really legitimately surprised that we're back with Juniper so fast. Or Junior so fast, excuse me. But, yeah, those were my two biggest takeaways. And another thing that we'll talk about when we get closer to the end of the episode. But those were my main two things.
Stacey?
We we really went places this episode. Like, we covered a lot of ground, but it didn't really feel rushed and out of place. I thought it was paced really well.
It was a really good adjoining episode. It was a really good... We got a little bit of information about a lot of things. We got some time to just kind of breathe for a little bit because the past, five-ish episodes have just been murder. And it was nice. And I don't want that to sound trite because sometimes it's just like, oh, it was nice. No, this was a nice episode. I appreciated that. I appreciated having some breathing room.
Last week's episode was definitely a tough act to follow, certainly. And I felt like the change in tone was surprising, but 100% appropriate. And for an episode that focused a little bit more on quiet moments and had, you know, in terms of, like, emotional recovery from what our characters went through last week, I thought it was a really good sort of... not quite reset, but sort of getting realigned episode. And you don't, like, a studio wouldn't necessarily think to put a lot of effort into an episode like that, but they did. They went above and beyond for what could have just been a return to the status quo now that the monster's been defeated. Like, there were so many tiny little animation details in the facial expressions this episode, and even just in terms of, like, arm movements and things like that, that just added so much more weight and personality to this episode. My favorite, probably for the rest of the season, will probably still be the last episode, but... like, this was an excellent follow-up.
This was everything. This was action. This was comedy. This was a little bit of lore. It gave you a nice, appetizer sampler of what this show has become.
That's actually a really good way of putting it. Like, this is kind of encompassing what Ruby is. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't for the spoilers, I would kind of want to throw this episode at somebody, you know, who had never seen Ruby before and be like, this is what you're getting with this show.
Yeah, that's a deep dive for episode one.
This flashback to this person and these people I don't know. But it's like, these are some real dramatic and meaningful camera angles. I wish I had the reason why.
But yeah, it's lighthearted and fun. It's dark and grim. It's got great action. There's a little bit of everything, and it was a good time. So before we dig too deep into the episode, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
Yeah, really quick. AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, professional wrestling, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channels, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. But if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They are optional, and they do help when you know you want to find out when people are going live. But they are optional, so you can still subscribe and not make it a big deal. So hit the subscribe button now for AfterBuzz TV Animation, and check out all of our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, you guys are fantastic. You guys are so great.
You can't spell fantastic without fan.
Yeah.
So, I have to bring this up. Rhythmic Warrior in the hashtag made a pipe cleaner apathy, and I think you need to send one of those to Megan. She will obviously love it forever.
Well, this person does a lot of pipe cleaner art, and this is, I think, some of their best work. Oh my goodness.
It works for the features of the...
It really does. It's so appropriate. So well done on that. Excellent. I'm retweeting it now.
Send her one. I'm not kidding.
Let's talk about the episode. Mark, we start this episode off with Maria's backstory. And you alluded to at the beginning of the show that this is one of the best action sequences the show has produced.
I said fights, not action sequences. Because the taking down of the Grimm was cool. And the fact that we started the series with four people taking down an Evermore versus now where it's one person taking down an Evermore. Very impressive and very cool, but I just personally like the first takedown a little bit better. But the fight between the crocodile and Maria is one of the best fights and her crew is one of the best fights that they've produced.
For sure.
Yes.
Stacey, what did you think of the Grimm takedown and the subsequent fight?
Gosh, it was really great to watch. I mean, And again, we've come so far with the animation, and we got to see kind of something truly intense with this fight, where everything finally came together, and especially with the power of the Silver Eyes being thrown in there too, we got to see what it really means to be a truly powerful fighter.
The thing that stood out to me about this, the fight choreography was incredible. The bit with the, oh, it's going to be 60 seconds, was also amazing. The screaming. Like, it's been, you watch so much stylized action stuff that you get used to a specific kind of yell. So the actual continuing agony that she was in was just like, oh my God.
You ever get your eyes cut?
No.
Well,
I've gotten a paper cut on an eye once, and it was nothing like this. I can tell you that.
Holy cow, you got a paper cut on your eye?
Yeah. It wasn't fun, but it was nothing like this.
That is literally so the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
Yes!
Anyway.
Stay high up there.
Wow. So that just... God, the acting on that one and how long it went on was just like, that really stood out to me.
Well, it was legitimately a minute. It wasn't like a screen minute. It was an actual minute.
Oh, no, I don't mean like the length of the fight. I mean like specifically the length of the screaming and how long that went on behind the, oh, well, you're a fighter till the end. I'll give you that. Ha ha ha. Like, she's still, dear God. So I think that more than anything really drove home the extent of that injury and that trauma, and good acting, good directing, holy cow.
Yeah, it's really easy to sort of lose the actual momentum and the weight of like the various blows that happen in an action sequence like this, because everybody has an aura that, you know, protects them and, you know, revives their health bar, so to speak. So when you have a hit like Weiss had last volume, and like Maria gets in this flashback sequence where actual bodily harm happens to somebody, like, it really hits home. And yeah, kudos on the delivery of that. That was absolutely spectacular.
And the fact that we do see her aura breaking earlier in the battle. So we're like, oh, okay, now we're in hard mode.
Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about talk.
There you go.
A little bit.
Nailed it.
Oh.
That's a home run.
The talk, if you will.
I do want to, this is talk now.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Where we talk about one of the coolest faunus that this show has ever introduced. I love her from head to toe. I am really, really sad that I haven't been this excited about a character and then subsequently like, oh man, I wish we would get more of them since Sienna Khan. Like, what is it with Ruby about introducing these awesome faunus and then subsequently murdering them?
I mean, this was a flashback, so I'm not really surprised. But
Stacey, yeah. what did you think of Talk? Do you think we're going to be seeing a lot of Talk cosplayers at the next RTX?
So. I really hope so. And yes, I mean, aside from such a great character design and so thorough, like you said, from head to toe, and then the fact that like she has leaned into this personality and made such a larger than life character out of, you know, her skills. And it came off in such a fabulous way on screen.
Metal teeth. I had a James Bond Jaws moment. Like, oh, that Halcyon Traveler in the hashtag says, I love her, but talk has definitely eaten people.
For sure.
I mean.
Well, she definitely ate some guy's hand. That's for sure.
Oh,
Speaking of.
But that's some, we have our split point. We have our prequel split point. Where it's now going to be, I'll just for lack of a better person to use, Scarlet Peter's dad dealing with Talk as a flashback, like, episode or season, and we get a little bit more character as a flashback, and that's just a way that we can get Talk back in the show, is Talk and Scarlet Peter's dad. And
I love it.
Yeah, when did everybody figure out who Talk was?
when I saw her name in the credits.
Ah.
It took me a bit. I was a little too preoccupied by the screaming. Mm.
Fair.
Stacey, when did you figure it out?
I figured it out pretty early on.
Was it the second
slow group?
Was it with the second she set the timer?
As soon as I saw it, I was like, "Oh, I got it."
Yeah,
Mark.
It was like, okay, he's like a pirate, British, some sort of reptile clock. All right, I got it. Here we go. Where has this been all my life? It took 6 seasons to get to this point. What else do we got? What else do we got?
Oh, where were you when Talk came
where were
on
you?
One dumb gamer says Salem needs to invest more in her assassins. Everyone knows Talk is cheap.
Oh,
I love it.
I was trying to think of a Talk is cheap pun, but I couldn't nail it. So
oh, great work.
Well played.
And evidently, I'm not the only one in the slow group.
Thanks, everyone, for validating me.
Oh, yeah, it definitely took me to the end of the credits as well. I do
right
want to say, as much as I love her, she is responsible for blinding our dear Maria. Mm. Now, one might say that that's kind of a dick move. So, guys, I think it's time for our favorite segment.
Break their legs!
She blinded Maria, and if Maria hadn't been quick to attack her with that awesome magnetic scythe dual weapon,
gravity dust.
Yes, she was going to kill somebody who was helpless and couldn't defend themselves theoretically. So, guys, dick move. Should we have broken Tox's legs before Maria went ahead and just kind of took care of that herself?
We'll just sweep in and
Stacey, pro or against?
I am for this movement.
Evidently, we would have had to have done it after those 60 seconds because I guess she gets temporary invulnerability. Thank you, chat. But yeah, oh my god, yes.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty cool semblance.
Mm-hmm. She would not have been my first choice for the leg breaking, but we're not at that part of the show yet.
So you think that...
No, if we're picking one person this week of whose leg to break, mm-hmm. For me, it's not Talk. Because she died. So it's like, I'm going to break her leg, then I'm going to kill her.
Like she got stabbed in the back, and then it's implied that she was then subsequently decapitated. So if one could argue she got her comeuppance.
Yeah, so if Talk got away... Then it'd be like, oh, we'll break the leg so that she has something to remember her by. But if, I mean, she did. So, break her everything.
She don't did.
Break her life.
I would have to agree with you. I feel like she definitely deserved it. But given that she's dead, I feel like that's sort of the equivalent of beating a dead horse. Like, the problem is sort of taking care of itself. Mm-hmm. So before we go ahead and move on to the rest of the episode, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes.
Oh, folks, should have checked.
Folks,
take your time.
Thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It would be just such a lovely holiday treat if you guys would go to iTunes and leave a 5-star comment. None of the other ones really work, so only that 5-star button. But no joke, it really does help keep the lights on here. It mm-hmm. helps keep us at these desks. And also, it just brightens up our day. And we do our best to try to give shout-outs to people who leave comments. Sometimes iTunes can be a little delayed, and definitely it's really hard to like sort everything.
But we also
on iTunes.
We have a lot of comments because we used to run a lot of iTunes reviews based contests.
We did.
So we have stuff from the beginning that's messed with our sorting hat.
And we also have people who, you know, talking about that, we have people who commented years and years ago when we first started doing the show who still watch us. And that means a lot to us, guys. So you guys are the best. And we also know that we have an international audience. And so sometimes we can't see the stuff from the international iTunes store. So a lot of times we like to ask you guys to go ahead and take a screen cap of those reviews and put them in that hashtag RT Reviews so that we can give you the shout out you deserve, because it does count. It does help us. And we want to recognize that, because you guys are the best.
It's true. Really, we don't have any new reviews, or at least I couldn't find any new ones, but I want Charles Hockenberry in chat said, first I'll kill you, then I'm going to get mean. So you watch out. But something else that we want to put attention to is we dropped 4 new designs on our store today. If you could bring those up, Anthony, that would be absolutely wonderful. We have a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/theroosterteam. We have some phrases that have been uttered previously. We have the hashtag never dies. If you get the reference, I'm not going to say what it is. We love you.
I'm so proud of you.
I was like, why something I want to... I want to plus this up somehow. Media has ruined me. We have our list shirt, our Skigit shirt, which is, if you read it all vertically, which has all of the shows that we do in a publicly available ways that we can put them on merchandise. And then the design that I've had in my head since we started this season of Ruby. I have nobody to thank but Princess Ponies 81, who is our artist on that. She's a member of the community, and for those of you listening on iTunes, head over to teepublic.com/theroosterteam. It is a Nora crossbone shirt, but it's femurs, and I love it so much.
It is. It's pretty nice.
And also, the colors that are shown aren't necessarily the only color that they're available on. I just thought putting the Nora shirt on pink made the most sense. Oh, and hashtag never dies. The red is also a part of the reference, so there you go.
I still really like Media Has Ruined Me. Thank you, Stacey, for giving us that quote. And thank you, Mark, for making all of these incredible shirt designs.
And there's always going to be more coming. And since we started our new artist-creator relationship with Princess Ponies 81, and if any other artists want stuff, we didn't... It's not just for... I'll just say, it's not just for attention... We pay, so if there are cool ideas that we come up with, we actually asked a couple of the artists that we know in the community, but we're always looking for more, because if that's the beginning, we go up from that amazing design, we're gonna make some really cool stuff. So make sure to head over to teepublic.com/theroosterteam. If you're watching this live, all of these designs are on sale. Like, it's not full price. You can $14 for a t-shirt ain't that bad. They're gonna go up to full price in two and a half, three days. So make sure to hit them up now. There might be Boxing Day sales or something like that. But help support the show, because it allows us to do more independent stuff, and stuff like Welcome to Vale, which is also available on teepublic.com/theroosterteam. We'll run this again a lot shorter at the end of the show.
The I just want to throw that out there that, like, yeah, get the Rooster Team fan in your life a holiday gift, or get yourself a holiday gift from you to you, because you should treat yourself.
Or just get someone you like a super clever shirt. Hashtag never dies, Media Has Ruined Me. You don't need context. Those are fun. Also, we still have all our other designs, our Welcome to Vale design, our I Hate the Ships You Like design, like...
That's still my Come favorite. On,
there's a yep, lot of good yep. stuff. Go check it out. It's going to be a good time. So,
I'm fond of our Helvetica list that we just put up there. That's yep, cute that's as hell.
A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So we were just talking about our new favorite villain, who's now sadly dead. let's swing on back to some other villains. The top of the show starts off with Cinder and Neo. And it's Cinder basically giving Neo the rundown. Now, Stacey, how long lived is this partnership?
Neo is not at all into this part. And not only that, like, I don't think Neo is fully on board with this, like, from the beginning. But then Cinder goes and slips up and, like, makes it really obvious that what she's doing is for Salem's approval, which... I guarantee Neo does not care about Salem's approval. And I don't think she will ever in the future have a reason to care about Salem's approval. So Neo's just like, I'll hang around for now. You can get me where I need to go, and then this is over.
And the implication at the top of the episode is that Cinder has brought Neo up to speed on just about everything, including the maidens, including the relics, including Salem, and, you know, how powerful Salem is. And my, I guess the idea there is that who's Neo gonna tell? But at the same
time, that's mean.
She's Pictionary.
Imagine how long that game would go on.
Forever.
But you know, it raises the question of how much did Neo know, you know, back in the early volumes when we were first introduced to her? And does this added context change anything? Mark?
I think she's still going to stab her right square in the back.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that there's going to be like an instant death as a reaction to it, but isn't the Cinder's back where that big grim seal is that Salem put on her?
Her back is where her symbol is.
Yeah,
the two shoes together. That's yeah.
Okay, never mind. There, because I thought that there was a seal there, and literally stabbing in the back could interrupt some sort of like or accelerate some sort of full power thing that Cinder's going for. Either way, Neo is she's like hungry, whatever. Wait, I get to kill. What? Sure, whatever. Great. I'll follow you for the next 5 minutes.
Not a troll in chat has deemed them team hot and vicious.
Oh, no.
Which I like.
Oh, no. There was a much better one. Jesus Pondo says team hot chocolate.
And BG Titan Avatar says, yeah, Cinder, I'm sure Salem is going to let your loophole jumping slide.
Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Did we miss the speech about... Well, Cinder did miss the speech about you can't get anything except through me.
She almost killed Hazel for taking responsibility for something that wasn't necessarily his fault. What is she gonna do to Cinder for trying to find a loophole?
I mean, you can't kill her because you don't know where those maiden powers are going. And then you have to go through all that rigmarole again to get... unless they go to Salem, or unless they can't go to Salem. Who knows? Mm-hmm. They might... Emerald as the Fall Maiden.
I am all for Emerald as our new Fall Maiden for sure.
God help her.
Mark, you got me thinking that I feel like I know exactly how Cinder's part of the story ends. I feel like, yeah, it's like a Neo double cross thing, but not necessarily being overtly killed by Neo. Neo does something that causes a chain reaction in her grim parts, and she just gets consumed by the grim part of her. Like it's freaking monster blood or something.
Can I have add a point of contention?
Absolutely.
You say double cross as if she had any intention to go along with the plan.
This is true.
Shake hands.
She's a perilous ally out there.
Do we have an accord? And then they shook hands.
As someone pointed out in chat, hey Cinder, remember what happened the last time you shook on it? Like, she's just making bad deals. Ooh. The only thing that has kept her alive is getting this power. Let's be real.
So yeah. Do we have any final thoughts on Neo and Cinder before we move on to the rest of our boys and girls?
I cannot wait for this to crash and burn, quite literally.
I can't believe she even thinks that Salem is not going to find out about her loophole. Like, what am I thinking?
And eyes everywhere, literally everywhere. What makes her think that not just Salem, but... Why wouldn't Raven have eyes in there somewhere? Like, to go back to such an important place to only a couple people? Also, actually, that's a really good point. How did they get into this? Oh, well, they probably went through the entrance that... Never mind. I was going to say, did they just walk into the school, hit the thing, and go into the vault? No, they probably went in the way that...
They got in the way she got out.
Yes. Yeah. Instant realization.
She's like, don't worry, I know a shortcut. Yeah.
And John's points out, but now we have confirmation that Salem wants Ruby alive. Why? Mm-hmm. Because she's playing Xanatos speed chess. I don't know.
Well, that also seemed to be the implication with Maria also, mm-hmm. was that they just needed her eyes destroyed, but she could stay alive.
I think it's gone from destroying everybody to science. I need to know what what the Silver Eyes can do to me. So maybe by alive, it's a bargaining tool, or I will be able to experiment on this girl and figure out how I can counteract Silver Eyes.
And better do it now while she still doesn't quite know how to use her powers.
Or maybe she wants to use it to kill one of the gods. To kill the god of darkness.
Because
she knows how to kill the god of light.
Oh, join me, Ruby, and we will destroy the gods together and rule over this land.
I'm Summer Rose.
Oh my gosh, twist!
No, I mean, it's definitely not that. Matt, I just want to shout out Matt Dixon in chat, who said, I'm in the what are those camp when it comes to Neo shoes.
I mean, one dumb gamer did just have the, oh my god, her emblem is glass slippers. Yeah. Realization. Like, I love it. I love those moments so much, no matter who has them. I love you all.
I love all the memes in Camille, world domination. Of course!
Excellent. All right, so let's move on. After Maria's backstory, we basically find out that, guys, we are right on the edge of Argus. They made it!
Yay!
And what a great welcome. The thing that welcomes them is Jean's voice going, oh.
And the name in Ruby's scroll,
yep.
Vomit Boy,
still yeah.
Never forget.
Beautiful. Although I did like, we had a little bit of a conversation with Maria before we crested the hill into an entirely different season.
Which, excellent like, piano version of this season's theme, by the way.
Right?
Oh my god, yes.
So good.
But just the conversations about huntsmen and huntresses are supposed to do this, I didn't, and that just backhanded compliment to Crow, like, well, I'm a disappointment, so if you want to be like me, you're well on your way. Like, whoa, yikes! But just the, you're stronger than I am, and the camera cutting to view Yang, just like, yep, okay.
Yeah, feel
I just
like
appreciated all of that.
Maria doesn't give herself enough credit for the wisdom that she can give these kids. And like, and I love the, you know, the little bit of commentary of like, I'm sorry I'm leaving the world in such bad shape. Like, but I'm glad that you kids are, you know, seem to be the type that will fight and hopefully make it a better place, because that's ultimately the only thing that any given generation can hope, is you do the best that you can, leave the world as good a place as you can, and hope that the next generation can take it further.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
I'm very interested, when we're looking at the story of Ruby as a whole, the fact that it's Volume 6, Episode 7, and we are meeting the Master. If we're going according to a hero's journey, we're still pretty close to the beginning. Like,
yeah.
we're in, near the beginning of Act 2, which is crazy. Like, I know there was the joke that when JJ was on, he talked about, yeah, I talked about 14 seasons of Ruby with Monty once. And now we're like, well, I mean, maybe.
At the time, we were like, yeah, okay. And now it's like, oh, yeah.
That soon?
I could see that for yeah. sure. So yeah, we get to Argus, and God bless Nora for being our light in dark times, because the first thing she says is just, cute boy Oz, and then she runs and tackles him, and
yes.
So my break their legs pick.
What?
Is the entire team not immediately telling Junior exactly what's going on. Because as right. we don't know
shots
what sort of
fired.
Time it has spent, but we've talked about previously, we haven't gotten to the point where Jean is holding Oscar up against the wall like a mean boy. So it's probably not going to be a nice way that it comes out, but my break their legs is, well, except for Maria. She's been through enough. But everybody else, like, these people are just as close to us. We've traveled the worst of the worst stuff and the best of the best with all of them. They should know immediately. First thing, it's great to see you, but we have to tell you something.
I get your point. I personally don't agree. And I think part of that is having Jean's sister and Terracotta and just these unknown quantities in the room. And it's like, yeah, okay, we can trust them. because it's your sister and her wife, but also we don't know them. And also, we have just come from one hell of a near-death scenario. We're all exhausted. We're all hungry. Like, I can understand the, let's take an hour, let's get some food, let's sit and not be in mortal danger, and let's just kind of breathe for a while and get to know the person whose house we're crashing in. Like, I get taking time for the niceties before going, by the way, you're not going to believe this.
Sure, but I didn't want to imply that it happens at the house, but it's, hey, we need to talk. Or even if the episode ended with, we need to talk. That would have been a little bit.
I 100% agree. I don't think, in no scenario do I ever want Ruby's legs broken for any reason. But I do agree that I feel like there should have been a moment where she like tugs on John's sleeve and goes like, hey, not here. We're in public.
Hey, so we rubbed the lamp.
And we have some shit to tell you.
We got some stuff.
Stacey.
I mean, I think I chalk that more up to the fact that they're still kids. And they finally are in a place of safety. And they're reuniting with their friends. And they're just kind of overcome with this relief and kind of almost even excitement at this point. Like, they're in this wild new place. They've got their friends back. Everyone is safe for the moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's right that it slipped their minds so easily, or they didn't at least give up. By the way,
like, we gotta talk.
Yeah.
So John's straight up crying because he's so happy that everyone's okay. Like, he's lost people he cares about before after being sent away from where the battle is. Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun segment we do. So it wasn't necessarily like, and I have an issue with the script, but it's just in this particular episode it's really cool new villain.
Characters hiding information from other characters for the express purpose of protecting them is a trope I hate. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, Ospin! But like even when it's justifiable in the narrative. So I definitely, I totally side with you, Mark. I definitely feel like there should have been like a, hey, we gotta talk. Like, maybe not now, but 10 minutes from now.
But I didn't want to sidetrack the conversation. I just wanted to put that in to finish the segment because there's more and we're running out of time.
As you pointed out, Katie, we finally get to meet Jean, one of Jean's sisters, one of his many, many sisters.
One of seven. Mm-hmm. And I went back and paused that little family frame and went, I wonder what other variations of yellow their names are.
So, yes, Stacey, what did you think of Saffron and her wife, Tara?
She's kind of exactly what you would imagine. Based on what we know about Jean and the kind of person he is, she is just as exuberant and like outgoing and overwhelmed. Like, she seemed like a very overwhelmingly positive force, which, you know, doesn't always work out well for the younger brother who was subjected to it.
I mean, in the picture, he was holding up a sign that said, help me. That is a literal cry for help.
Was that John?
Because I thought
I saw pigtails.
Oh, yeah.
That. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he had pigtails.
I think one of the reasons why, when they had the dance, many, many seasons ago, he was so comfortable wearing that dress. Because we know for sure his sisters absolutely put him in a dress on multiple occasions.
I guess it threw me off because there was the camper.
Yes.
So that's what threw me off.
There was David in there. Yep.
I love that so much.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just got a little cough.
A little cough.
But they have a baby whose name is Adrian. And this is what I'm talking about in terms of, like, the facial expressions. The baby had great facial expressions. Jean's facial expressions when he's like, I'm not a baby, that's a baby. They were so fluid and so good. And Ruby and Yang, you know, just getting the big old anime eyes and everything like that. It's really... You really do see how far they've come in terms of, like, making the most out of the engine that they're using.
Yeah, the bounce is strong.
The bounce is strong. His little rubbery arms were so great.
Adorable.
I also like that, you know, we had this whole generation that was, you're based on color names to remind us never to do this crazy war thing again. And now that we're on to the next generation, we don't necessarily need to do that.
We don't know his middle name.
Okay, now legit.
It's Adrian Green.
I didn't even try.
I didn't create it. So the one thing that made me the one thing that I set up in my head that didn't pay off was when we saw the picture, I was like, can we have a Nurse Joy, Officer Jenny situation where every like major port town has an arc in it?
Yeah. I love that.
And they just couch hop to couch hop. And then it's like, yeah, I'm the only one that left. So I was like, oh, immediately dashed.
Eventually, we're going to meet the rest of the family all in one place. I want it.
Yeah, probably.
You know that when that happens, that place is going to get attacked, and we're going to see all of their weapons and all of their fighting style.
I can be about that. Were you presenting that as a bad thing?
No, okay. No. I am pitching that.
Okay, great.
I'm wondering if they're all huntresses, though, because Saffron made the point of, yeah, we would love to house you guys. You do so much to protect people like us. Like, mm-hmm. She probably has a semblance, yeah, but does she have a weapon? Does she have a fighting style?
If John's the youngest and he gets the hand-me-down, what does that mean about the others?
They made their own, or they just decided not to do the thing.
Or they're not.
Yeah. They could be scientists, or... Yeah.
Scientists?
That said, Ark family brawl. Yeah. I want it. I feel like it would be one of those things where the trained villain goes in and just gets mauled by this family who knows their own territory and each other.
Gonna go ahead and throw this out there. Hazel just gets owned by this group of young ladies.
They would sit him down, feed him, and get his life story. Like, they'd kill him with kindness.
Here's what I'm picturing. Oh, go ahead.
And then kill him.
You remind me of my sister. Yep. And you get a moment to, like, and that's a change in him.
Here's what I sort of picture. I picture a grim attack, and the overwhelming positivity of Jean's sisters ultimately starve the grim.
They just slowly fade away.
It's just like, no! And it fades to dust.
I imagine them getting momentarily distracted by an internal, like, quabble, and then, like, turning, and the grim is just disintegrating away. They're like, all right, we're ready to fight now.
Wow. before
who needs we get silver eyes when you have the power of love. Aww. Or maybe that's what silver eyes are.
The power of silver eyes were in our heart the whole time.
maybe the power of the silver eyes were the friends we made along the way. before we get too off track, I do just want to point out that even though we've had LGBTQ characters, this is one of the first, like, actual relationships where, you know, nothing dramatic is happening. It's just, it's presented as normal. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. It's great. And I love that, you know, they don't make a big deal about it. It's normalized. And that's something that more media needs to do. So work on that, rest of the media. Get on Ruby's level.
Yes.
Okay, we are running short on time. So I say we do some real quick rapid fire predictions.
Wait. AfterBuzz TV predictions. Sorry, I got you with me.
I'm still holding on to my little pet theory for Crow, even though it's slowly disintegrating every time he learns something new in this season.
Stacey?
I mean, they've got to have the talk soon, right? Like, they got to fill in the rest of the group. So, we got some turmoil coming.
It's a little less the birds and the bees and more the gods and the Salem. So, yeah, different talk.
Mark?
I think now that we've made it, if the talk does happen, that will be the most intense thing that happens. But if it doesn't, then sort of a shopping episode. Like, for lack of a better term, of let's be in the city for a minute.
We need a space mall episode.
Even though it sounded like we're going right to the military base, if it's like, well, we need to figure something out, might as well go shopping.
Let's go get disguises.
Yeah. Big mustache.
Yes.
If they go the My Hero way with the disguises, I'm all for it.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah.
My guess is that they get Weiss, they get in access to the military via Weiss, whether that's by going, look, it's the missing Schnee heir, or if it's by, like, hey, Winter's sister is here, could you please bring her out?
Does anybody think there's a chance that Winter is the person at the base? And because that will just, let's go! That will instantly get them on the boat.
I am keeping my fingers crossed.
I will be very surprised if that's the case, but very pleased if it is.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. Oh, that would give them a very nice little windfall that they still need.
Definitely.
What luck! Or it's winter and she doesn't let them in.
She's like, no. You are going home, young lady.
I think that surprise inspection from James Ironwood.
Everyone else needs to stay. You're coming home with me. Everyone else has to stay here. We just fixed this problem.
You're all under arrest for your many, many crimes.
The end.
Also, there's a flaming farm over there that you might want to go and set on more fire.
You get from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Yeah. Anyway, we are out of time. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos for Rooster Teeth things, those live on that channel. Also, for those of you going, guys, Voltron dropped. Where is it? January.
Stacey. Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over on Twitch at InventoryFullPT, where I'm part of a gaming group and we play games and talk about games. Our other members is Mark.
And on the internet, it's Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. I'm expanding a whole bunch of podcasts that I'm doing and bringing them in-house. The Wrestle Pros, if you're a wrestling fan, follow us there. We just started a Discord channel, so if you like to talk about wrestling, check the Discord channel. Party of Two is a theme park podcast that I do with my wife. We're several months in at this point. This whole past month has been about holiday stuff, but this past week we talked about That Bell animatronic, though. And if you don't know what we're talking about, dear God, we talk about it. And go wherever podcasts are available, check out Party of Two Pod. And then tpublic.com/theroosterteam is where you can support us. Please, please support us. Everything's on sale right now. Check the image really quick. That's all of the new stuff. Hashtag never dies. Media has ruined me. Break their legs and our Helvetica list. Thank you. That has been me. Hey, Megan.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I also do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. So check that out.
Before we go, we do have to announce, because we're next week, we are not doing episode 8. We're doing the Camp Camp Hanukkah special.
We are.
So the studio's closed. We're going to be pre-taping that, but we're going to be airing it live. So we will be in chat when it goes. But the week after that, we will return for Ruby episode 8 because there's the week off and we needed to fill content.
We did indeed. So again, thank you guys so, so much. We will see you all soon. Hope you all have happy holidays. Bye.
And dust you later.
Dust you later! Yeah!
Phil Svitek and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.